What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Wavebreak podcast, hosted by yours truly, Dylan Kelly, the founder of Wavebreak. Today, we've got an awesome episode for you guys. Just like every week, today, I'm going to be interviewing somebody behind one of the top Shopify stores and getting them to share their secrets. That person this week is Miriam Zielinski, the founder of Lazy Jack Press. Her products are available at a bunch of different retailers, both big and small, and most recently, she got her products in Nordstrom. Today, she's going to be sharing exactly how she did it. Stay tuned for that. Now, before we get into the episode, I just want to thank everyone for their positive feedback and support of the podcast. If you're enjoying the podcast, head over to iTunes and leave a review. I would really appreciate it. And if you screenshot that review and email it to podcast@wavebreak.co, I will send you some of my top secret private personal email marketing assets. So all you got to do is leave a review, screenshot it, and email it to podcast@wavebreak.co. Now, speaking of email, I have a question for you. And that question is your email marketing underperforming? Maybe you don't have time or you don't know what to do, or maybe it's a combination of the two. But at Wavebreak, we help Shopify stores maximize their email marketing revenue. Our open slots are filling up fast, and actually at the time of recording this episode, I believe we only have two left, but if you want to improve your email marketing, visit wavebreak.co to learn more. That's wavebreak.co, and once again, slots are filling up fast, and it's first come, first serve, so if email is something that you want to improve for 2018, head over to wavebreak.co to learn more about that. Now, without further ado, I've got Miriam waiting. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
So to get started, what is Lazy Jack Press? It's a cool name.
Thank you so much. So Lazy Jack Press is just a really cool prep brand that I created in 2012, almost May of 2012, almost 6 years. That's crazy to think about. And it's just a better quality prep brand. Everything's made in Italy, all the printed goods. And then every single product has a really cheeky name. So I think that sets it apart and makes it a little bit more fun, not just another boring tie collecting dust on your shelf.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really competitive space to be in.
You're telling me.
take me back to the beginning. How did you start this business?
So I was actually in law school at the time, and I went back to my 5-year college reunion at Dickinson College and, you know, just reconnecting with, you know, all my sorority sisters and, you know, all the frat guys and kegs and eggs and drinking out of red party cups and everything and going back to New York and, you know, pouring over my, so I'd graduated soon after and pouring over my, my bar exam questions. And I was just so miserable. And I was like, there has to be something else. There has to be something better. And I saw a couple other, prep brand ties while I was out there. And I didn't know it was, these are very popular brands and I don't want to, you know, disparage them. So I won't mention their names, but I noticed that their quality had gone so far downhill, but yet their price had gone really far up. So then I decided that I could make something for the young professional, better quality and basically in the same price range, just a little bit higher, but just significantly better quality. So that's sort of how it started, sort of on a whim. Without any experience.
Yeah, going from law school to starting this business, competing with brands who have already been in the space, that's that takes guts.
It took guts. And, you know, I, you know, with the first design, the red party cup, you know, approached Barney's with it, with the drawing of it. And I was lucky enough in that boardroom that the young buyers were out of college just a few extra years than I was. And they loved the idea and the concept, and they loved the mill that I was using in Italy. And basically they said, you know, come back in a few months with a whole line and you can launch here exclusively. And it's just sort of, that's sort of when it hit me that it was actually something and not just, you know, an idea.
Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy. So you launched into Barney's?
Nationwide. Yes.
Nationwide. Wow.
That was really exciting. And, you know, there ended up being a little bit of a hoorah, shall we say. And we didn't know about it at the time, but apparently Ferragamo had an agreement with Barney's that they would be the only motif tie designer in the store. But because we had started, I don't even think we had, I think we had like a very, you know, little website, you know, no social media presence. I don't think that the buyers thought that they would catch on, but they did. So it was only for 2 seasons that we were in there.
Wow. So are you still in Barney's or not anymore?
No, because of that misunderstanding they had with Ferragamo. So we're not in Barney's anymore, which is too bad.
Wow, that stinks. But you still got in, which is a feat in its own.
Yeah, I'm so proud of that. I remember, you know, going there to deliver merchandise and, you know, educate the sales reps about it and the store. It was just so exciting. Really, really, really exciting.
So how did you get this opportunity? You have this idea, you have it sketched out, you have it drawn out. You don't even have an actual bow tie yet, right?
No, nothing.
You landed a meeting and then you landed your product in their store, not just one store, like for them to test it out. They launched you nationwide. How did you pull that off?
I say to this day that it was dumb luck. It was dumb luck that I got the meeting. It was dumb luck that, you know, I had like a list of designs, not even sketched out, you know, like beer goggles and kegs and eggs and the Sweet Shades Bro, the little sunglasses. I had them, you know, all the ideas, but I didn't have much. But I think it was also the reputation of the mill in Italy that I'm using, because they do a lot of the big players. And so I think that was also impressive. And just the idea of this, you know, preppy prep brand and sort of these whimsical designs then mixed with 21 Mummy Italian Silk, which is the highest grade that you can get. Coincidentally. So I think I think that if it was today, it wouldn't happen that way.
Yeah, I think timing plays a big role in the success of a lot of businesses. And that's not to say don't start the business. But like if you can hop on the right wave, you can start it at the right time, the right business at the right time, your chances of success are a lot higher.
Well, absolutely. And you just have to try everything until you get it. I mean, I tried Saks, I tried Bergdorf's, I tried Neiman's, you know, I tried all those and I got the meeting with Barney's. So it's not to say that, you know, you don't have any failures. You have plenty of failures out there.
Yeah. And it's easy to look at your Barney's success and think, oh yeah, she just got into Barney's and that's it. But really, like this part of the story that you don't probably tell as much is you trying to get into the other stores as well and getting rejected.
And I just absolutely, and I just got into Nordstrom's, but that was almost a 5-year thing to get into Nordstrom's, and that I'm doing dropship only. Cause I don't like the terms they have about, you know, returning products. And then if something doesn't sell, you have to pay a penalty and then buy it back. And it's just too much stress, you know, too much stress. And so I'm doing dropship, so I'm in complete control and I like it that way. And I can add styles and adjust the inventories. But that took, yeah, I mean, that took so many years going back and forth and me emailing the buyer and being like, yay, I have new things. And, you know, he'd be in New York and he would, you know, he'd say, come to the office. And I would bring a little, you know, sort of like a little briefcase thing with, you know, 6 ties in there. And he's like, oh, you have a ways to go. And then years later, seeing me at a trade show with a 10 by 10 and spot. And he was just, you know, so impressed. He's like, not yet, not yet. And finally he reached out to me, last fall. And he was like, we're ready for you now. And I was really excited about that because that was a long time in the making.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's a big thing too, is like, just like following up and staying in contact with people. Recently for my own self, I booked a guest appearance on a podcast, and that was like 6-7 months in the making for just like, just to talk for 45 minutes on another podcast. But it didn't work at the time, but just like you, it eventually worked out and it was awesome.
If you pester somebody enough, chances are they will eventually give in.
Yeah, totally. And so many people just stop after the first attempt and they just give up. But like you were smart in that you kept following up, not just like, hey, can you put me in? It's like, hey, I have this new stuff. It's like you have a reason to reach out, which I think is awesome. Now, did you know the people in these companies initially, like in Nordstrom, in Barney's, or how did you get in touch with people initially and get these meetings or even try to?
I think, and I don't remember super clearly, but I think through the agent of the mill in Italy, who I deal with here in New York. And I'm pretty sure that he told me the name of the tie wearer. So they told me the name of the tie buyer and I reached out, and I'm pretty sure that's how I found out, because these things are not readily available. It's really hard to find, you know, the person you really need to contact, and, you know, and then you contact them and then it bounces back and, you know, kind of makes everything a little bit harder.
I bet. And then you have so many people beating the door down to get into these stores, and the brands in these stores are already really established and big, usually with tons of revenue and tons of like clout, I guess. I don't know what I'm trying
to
say.
For sure.
They're popular.
For sure.
And it must be really hard to get in there.
It's hard. And then you see them at the trade shows, you know, and they travel in packs and big groups of people, and they have their name tags hidden. But you know, when they're in a pack and they have their name tags, you know, tied around their bags, not facing you, you know they're from a big store, and they look you up and down, and they quickly look and they just keep walking and they never stop. You don't know what they're thinking. It could be good and it could be bad. And you just have to hope that they, you know, follow, like take a little mental note and follow up, but that doesn't really ever happen.
Are there any trade shows that you recommend for people who are trying to get into these stores?
It depends what they're selling. So I did the MR show for years, twice a year, and it was great until I was in the modern prep section, and I had a few other brands copy me, like pretty shamelessly. And I, you know, decided I was done with that show. Also, it just got bought out by people who put on Magic. So now it's like more concentrated on streetwear and like more casual. So I don't really know what the right menswear show is anymore, is the problem. And now everyone's saying that it's no longer a paper show. You know, so people will come and just like look and take cards, but they won't actually sit down and write an order. So I'm not really sure. I do love the gift show. And I did it for the first time in Atlanta, which was fun last January. And, you know, I've done the PGA show. I've done Chicago Collective, which I think could be great, but I did it during the Frankenstorm a few years ago, and half of the retailers couldn't even make it. So there was all these empty booths and 0 foot traffic. And, you know, I got stranded for 3 extra days there. So it wasn't the best experience. So I think that you just have to give it a try, and you have to give it a few shows. You're not going to be successful on the first show. It takes, you know, the same buyers walking by and seeing that you're still there. You know, that's really what I'm told. That's what does it.
And what's been the impact of getting into a store like Nordstrom been on your business?
It's been great. I mean, you know, it drives more traffic, and, you know, I don't have everything on Nordstrom, so I'll see a name pop up for Nordstrom's order to order, you know, I don't know, a pocket square. And then that same name will pop up on my own Shopify website, and they'll order, you know, something else, which is great. You know, I see a lot of repeat customers, which I like. But honestly, I love my small retailers. They're the ones that gave me the chance, you know, early on, and they're the ones that are still, you know, sticking by me and ordering sometimes twice a month, sometimes, you know, 6 times a year. Well, that's the same thing. Sometimes like once a month. It just depends. They're the ones that get like so excited about new designs. And, you know, like I called up one of them and I was like, oh, my new camel toe design just came in. It's amazing. And, you know, they're so excited to order it.
That's awesome. And so you're in a lot of smaller retailers as well as the big guys like Nordstrom. Do you have a strategy for getting into the smaller retailers?
Those you have to meet at the show. That's meet at the show or email or call them, you know, and send some pictures, and then they, you know, then they'll potentially show interest, and then, you know, they get asked for more information, you give them more information, and then they kind of disappear, and then you have to follow up. And sometimes you never hear back. And sometimes I'm dealing with one right now from a museum upstate who wants to do custom, and, you know, all of a sudden they've reappeared and they're like, oh, we're ready. You know, and then they disappear again. And I don't know. I think with my legal training, I'm used to emailing people pretty much right away. So I don't really understand going MIA for a while. It would stress me out, because then I'd be like, oh, I have to get back to this person.
It's like we were talking about earlier. It's that follow-up. These people, if they want to buy, they're going to buy eventually, but it's just the right time you're waiting for, and you got to stay high in their mind. Or what am I trying to say? You got to stay top of mind. There we go.
Top of mind, and so that they don't see something else similar, or, you know, I mean, at these trade shows, they see thousands and thousands and thousands of people. So, you know, if you let them forget about you for a few minutes, you know, maybe they'll just write an order with someone else and then you're out.
Yeah. And so I'm curious, what's your wholesale and direct-to-consumer revenue split look like? Like, what percentage of sales come from wholesale and what come from your direct-to-consumer Shopify store sales?
So it's changing. So each year it's changing quite a lot. So but for 2017, I would have to say that probably, I don't know, I probably 80% direct and 20% wholesale, maybe 75, 25. Because I did two holiday pop-up markets for, you know, in I did Bryant Park and I did Columbus Circle here in New York. And I saw a lot of traffic with that and, you know, a lot of repeat customers. But then also I'm increasing the amount of stores. Each show that I do, you know, I get more stores. So I would say probably 75, 25 is probably it.
Nice. And is there any, for somebody who's thinking about going wholesale or is wholesale, is there a certain type of business that you recommend the wholesale route to versus a business that might not be the best fit for it?
I have no idea. I think that everything has to, I don't know. I actually really don't know. I have no idea.
I'll take that answer. But no, I think it's true though. It really
I
does depend.
feel like you should be able to wholesale anything if you're doing it right. It's really hard at the beginning to get the amount of traction just selling it direct, unless, I mean, I don't even know how that would work. I think you need the help of, you know, being in other stores and having people lay eyes on it.
Do you get a lot of direct-to-consumer sales as a result of being in retail stores?
Well, since I just started Nordstrom's, I think November 30th was the first day I launched. Really, what it is from the pop-ups I do. People will bring their, you know, work buddies or, you know, their wives or moms, you know, they'll bring whoever over and be like, oh, Uncle Bob, you know, is a musician. He needs the tie with the instruments on it called Looking for Trouble. Oh, you know, Uncle Jim is a doctor. He needs a Trust Me, I'm a Doctor tie. And then, you know, they'll give it to Jim. And then Jim will be like, oh, but all my buddies in the hospital need this tie too. So that's really where I've seen, you know, the most referrals and the most, you know, and the more positive things coming.
Nice. A lot of referrals and repeat business. That's cool. And so what is your pop-up strategy? So you have these pop-ups. How do you get people to show up?
I'm there. I'm there. I'm in, you know, very popular areas. So here in New York, I don't know if you've ever been to the holiday markets, but if you haven't, you definitely should. They're super fun and festive. But I don't know how many people are going by each day. But I know at Grand Central, when I did a pop-up for 6 months, they said 1 million people went by a day. So I'm where the people are. And I'm there and I'm smiling and I'm talking to people and, you know, giving them my attention. And I don't know, that's my strategy. I'm there.
Is that the majority of where your direct-to-consumer sales come from? Your like in-person events?
It is, but now I'm seeing an increase on my website. Because I was on the show Billion Dollar Buyer, so that helped a lot with getting, you know, awareness about the brand. So I'm seeing those sales come through, and I'm seeing the same people. It's been like a year and change now, order like for the fifth or sixth time. So that's great. I mean, it just changes all the time. It's hard to, you know, 2 years ago it was totally different. 2 years ago it was mostly wholesale because there wasn't much happening.
Yeah, and what's cool about this is it sounds like you're just kind of like you're not sitting on your butt. You're doing everything. You're kind of everywhere. So someone watches you on Billion Dollar Buyer, and then next thing you know, they're at this trade show that they're at, and then they're just walking through New York with their family, and all of a sudden, here you are at this pop-up shop.
That's right, I'm everywhere.
Watch out, everybody. Watch out. But just to give some perspective, like fast forwarding to now, like how big is the business now? Do you have a team? Is there like a sales number you can share if you can somehow share the size of the business?
I have a team of one, which is just me. But I, you know, for pop-ups, you know, when I do two at a time, I have some part-time help that I just hire hourly because I just can't be in two places at once. But otherwise, I do it all myself. I don't mind being up really late. I don't mind, you know, not having a day off. You know, like this is a bit of a quiet, been a quiet week, 2 weeks actually. So that's nice. And I'm opening a flagship store with another company in East Hampton next month. So I know things are going to get busy again. So I just kind of ride the waves. And, you know, when it's 3 months and I haven't had a day off and, you know, my earliest night of not working or of my earliest night of stopping work is 2 a.m. and I'm really burnt out, I know that, you know, things will go back to normal again.
That's crazy.
It's crazy, but it's so fun. Like, you know, I get frustrated, you know, I get home and then I have, you know, all the Nordstrom's orders, it's snowing, it's a high of 9 degrees, you know, all the stuff. And then you go back to the market and then people are like, oh, I met you last year. We talked about, you know, whatever. And I'm like, yes, I totally remember. And then we have this amazing conversation and that's sort of what makes it worth it.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, as long as you're happy doing it and you're having a great time, that's cool. And the thing is, you don't have to have a big team to do a lot nowadays, especially with the internet. And there's so many different, especially with the Shopify store too, there's so many different things you can do to automate a lot of things and just take work off your plate without having to hire a big team. And that's what a lot of the entrepreneurs who I talk to on this show and who I work with as clients, like they all, a lot of them have very small teams. It's just them usually. A lot are just by themselves. They use some contractors here and there or other people. But for the most part, it's just them. And it can be lonely, but at the same time, it's definitely doable.
Oh, it's definitely doable. And I just got a application for someone who wanted to be my intern. I was like, oh, I could really use an intern. And then I'm like, oh, but then I have to, you know, not do social media. I, you know, won't be able to do, you know, whatever, but I really enjoy doing all these things. I don't know. I'm not ready. I'm not big enough. You know, I'm sure one day I will need, you know, a team, but right now I'm still small enough that I can do it all myself.
Yeah, that's awesome. I like that. So speaking of one day, what's next for Lazy Jack Press? You mentioned this new store. What else do you have in the works?
So the new store in East Hampton, and then just always creating new designs for the ties and the socks. I have beer goggle socks coming out in probably a few weeks. And I have a lacrosse tie coming out. It's called Playing the Field. I'm really excited about that one. And just, you know, trying to get into more stores, doing more custom for organizations, just always trying to, you know, do more things.
I love it. Hitting it from all the angles.
So I'm trying.
Yeah. Before we sign off, do you have any closing thoughts or words of advice to end on?
Words of advice. I was talking to another entrepreneur not that long ago, and I think he has an amazing idea. And you know, I see him once or twice a year at a pop-up or, you know, at a trade show, and he just walks the show to see what's going on. And he still, and I just saw him, and he still hasn't done anything for his idea. And it's such a great idea. And I feel like you just have to start, and you just have to, you know, take the plunge, and you're not going to know all the answers. You're not going to, you know everything with certainty, but you know, you learn pretty quickly along the way from mistakes and, you know, from great things that happen. So I think just, you know, to quote Nike, just do it.
Yeah, for real. And that's something that you're not the first person to say that, on this show even. So that just says something. I mean, it's not as hard as you think. And if someone else can do it, you can do it too.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, not having all the answers and not knowing for sure if it's going to work and, you know, all that stuff. And, you know, it's, you know, you'll fail, you'll get back up, you'll, you know, you'll do whatever, but you know, you won't do anything unless you start. It will just still be the same idea rolling around in your head.
Yeah, and you're always gonna have problems too. Your problems just change, like.
Oh my God, they get bigger.
Yeah. First you want orders and then you're getting a ton of orders and now it's like, oh crap, I have all this customer service I have to respond to, blah, blah, blah. It just, everything multiplies. So
I
don't worry about
that. I came home when it was right before, it was like the 20th or something of December. And I came home from the pop-up. I was tired. I was cold. And I was like, not another Nordstrom's order. And my fiance looked at me and he's like, I don't feel sorry for you. And I'm like, I have to package it. I have to do all these things. And he was like, I don't feel sorry for you. And now I'm like, whenever I get something, I get so excited.
I love it. Where can we go to learn more about you and Lazy Jack Press?
So I guess our website, lazyjackpress.com. We're on all the social media sites at Lazy Jack Press. I think that covers it.
Yeah, and I'll link up everything in the show notes below. So if you want to check out some of her designs, just check out the show notes, click the link to her store, and you can go from there. That about wraps things up. Thanks so much for coming on the show, Miriam.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you having me on.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode. I hope you got something valuable out of it. Subscribe to get notified when new episodes drop. And if you want to work with me, head over to wavebreak.co to learn more. Thanks again for listening. I'll see you next week.